Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 12. We'll be looking at the first three verses. If you'd like to join in your own Bible or a pew Bible, Genesis 12. And before we read God's word, let's once again go to him in prayer. Let us pray. God Most High, mighty and lifted up, grant to us your Holy Spirit that in these words of the Holy Scripture, our hearts might be lifted up, that contemplating Christ's ascension, we might long to be with him and enter into the joy of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Genesis 12, the first three verses. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. This is our second week in a study of the book of Acts. Week number 2. We'll be looking at verses 6 through 11. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it had been 40 days. 40 days since that first Easter morning. They all thought Jesus was dead. He was betrayed, arrested in their presence, put on trial, and sentenced to death. Capital punishment. Crucifixion. Jesus died on a cross. He stopped breathing. His heart stopped beating. His brain stopped functioning. They buried him. They placed him in the tomb. But 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. He was alive, resurrected. God had conquered death through him. And it had been 40 days. 40 days since he burst forth from the tomb. 40 days since he broke the chains of death. 40 days since he broke the curse of sin. During those 40 days, Jesus appeared to the apostles and to others. But Luke, the author of Acts, emphasizes that Jesus was with his chosen apostles, his 12 original disciples, followers, minus Judas, who had betrayed him, Peter and Andrew, James and John, Matthew and Thomas, and the others. Well, for 40 days, Jesus appeared to the 11 apostles. He spent time with them. He ate with them. He talked with them. He taught them the scriptures and what the scriptures had to say about him and what the scriptures had to say about the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus was about to leave. Jesus was about to depart. Jesus was about to return to his Father, and he was gathered with his apostles one last time, and they ask him a question. They ask him a final question. Now listen to verse 6 again. This is verse 6. Listen again. This is the question. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now you can't help but wonder if Jesus was a little bit frustrated by the question. And here's why. The question that the apostles asked Jesus reveals that they still did not understand. Even after Jesus rose from the dead, even after he taught them about the kingdom from the scriptures, their question that they ask him still shows that they just didn't get it. They didn't fully understand Jesus' kingdom. They didn't fully understand the mission that he was giving them. They didn't fully understand the scope of God's plan. Now, John Calvin, 16th century reformer, pastor in Geneva, John Calvin had this to say about the apostles' question to Jesus. John Calvin said this: "There are as many errors in this question as words." That's how Calvin put it. Well, let's examine a little bit closer. Let's examine the errors in the question that the apostles asked Jesus. First of all, the apostles use the word restore. They asked Jesus, would he restore Israel? Of course, restore means to bring back, to reinstate. This word, restore, shows that they were still expecting Jesus to establish a political kingdom, a nation state, a territorial entity with geographic boundaries and economic power and military might and a capital city and a throne. And when the apostles used the word restore, they were specifically thinking about Israel at its height as a nation. 1,000 years before, thriving under King David, vibrant under King Solomon, free from outside control, with strong boundaries and a strong economy and a strong military, influential in the region. What they imagined was a restored Israel under the reign of King Jesus. And the problem is with that is this: they were confusing the kingdom of God with the kingdom of Israel. They were confusing the kingdom of God with the kingdom of Israel, which leads to the next error found in their question. They were looking for a racially exclusive kingdom, Israel. They were only thinking about the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were only thinking about Jews, God's covenant people, who had been given circumcision and the law and the prophets. But God's plan was greater. Now, the final error in their question had to do with timing. The apostles asked Jesus if he was going to restore Israel at this time, meaning now, immediately. They were looking for a national political kingdom to be created at that moment, right before their eyes. And you could hardly blame them. I mean, after all, right there before their eyes was the risen Messiah, the once dead, now alive Son of God, descendant of David, King of Israel. If death couldn't stop him, then Rome surely wasn't going to stop him. Nobody was going to stop him. Now, all that was true. Nobody's going to stop Jesus. Nobody is going to stop Jesus. But it's just not in the way, it just is not carried out in the way that the apostles thought it was going to be carried out. Well, it had been 40 days, and the apostles still did not understand. But Jesus shows grace. Jesus shows patience in his answer. Through his word to the apostles who still did not understand. And Jesus shows patience. He shows grace to us when we don't understand or when we misunderstand. But we must be reading God's word and studying God's word and desiring to understand God's word and asking the Lord to provide clarity through the word when we don't understand. And so that our misunderstandings might be corrected. Well, the apostles were looking for a political kingdom. They were looking for a nation state. They were looking for a territorial entity, but Jesus points them in a different direction. He says this in verse 7. Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Well, the kingdom of God is not political. It's not geographic. But it's spiritual. Spiritual as in of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual as in of God the Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. The one who is equal with the Father and equal with the Son. The one who is 100% God. Just like the Father. Just like the Son. The kingdom of God is spiritual because of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom is established by the Spirit, upheld by the Spirit, grows by the Spirit. It's made up of people who have been transformed by the Spirit, given new hearts by the Spirit. In Jesus Christ, God the Spirit removes your heart of stone, your heart that's full of sin, weighed down by sin, and hardened by sin, and gives you a new heart, one that's cleansed by Jesus and one that's full of Jesus. And as a spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God is not bound to a particular territory. It's not bound to a particular geographic region. It's not marked by natural resources or markets or a military or form of government. But the kingdom of God certainly has power. Jesus tells the apostles, they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. Now, the Greek word for power is dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. It's explosive power, dramatic power. Power in the kingdom of God is explosive. It's dramatic because it's the power of God. It's power that can transform hearts and lives and families and cities and nations. It's a power that can forgive, a power that can tear down walls. It's a power that can turn enemies into brothers or sisters. It's the power of selfless love, the power of sacrificial love shown in Jesus Christ, shown on the cross. And the spiritual kingdom of God is eternal. Political kingdoms rise and fall, but the kingdom of God will last forever. So if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, then you are part of this kingdom. You're part of the spiritual kingdom, established by the Holy Spirit and grown by the Holy Spirit. Well, the apostles were also looking for a racially exclusive kingdom, Israel, descendants of Abraham. And again, Jesus points them in a different direction. He speaks these words in verse 8. Listen again to verse 8. Jesus says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Jesus tells the apostles that they were to be witnesses. The Greek word for witness is martyria, where we get our word martyr. A witness is one who testifies. A witness is one who offers testimony. And a martyr testifies with their death. Their blood bears testimony to their faith. Well, the purpose of a witness is to point to something. A witness points to an event, an occasion, an incident, a happening, testifies to it. So Jesus is telling the apostles that they were to be his witnesses, that they were to point to him, point to his death, point to his resurrection, point to the salvation that he brings, to testify to it. And they were to do so, first of all, right where they were, in Jerusalem, among God's people, among the Jews, among the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But that was only the beginning. He said they were to go beyond Jerusalem, to Judea and Samaria, the regions around Jerusalem. And they weren't to stop there, but they were to keep going to the end of the earth, witnessing to Jesus, to the nations, among non-Jews, among Gentiles. What Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of God was going to be an international kingdom. Not bound to a particular race, not bound to a particular ethnicity, not bound to a particular people. But this wasn't new. This had been God's plan all along. And we saw this plan revealed in our Old Testament reading from Genesis. Chapter 12 of Genesis is the call of Abram. Out of all the nations, out of all the peoples, out of all the families, out of all the men on the earth, God chose Abraham. God called Abraham, and God made this promise. Listen again to the last part of verse 3 in Genesis 12. God says, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God chose Abraham, but his desire was to bless all the families of the earth, all the nations of the earth, in him. And this plan of God's, this desire of God's, was coming to fulfillment in Jesus, heard in his words to the apostles, the great commission to the apostles. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." These words, this commission, is also for us. It's for you. It's for the church today. Just like the apostles, you're to be a witness. You are to bear testimony to Jesus and for Jesus in word, in deed, in your home, at work, at school, in your neighborhood, in Jackson or Ridgeland or Madison or Brandon or Clinton or wherever you are. You're to be a witness to Jesus. As the church, we are to be a witness in our neighborhood, in this city, in our region, and to the end of the earth. But here's what Jesus tells his apostles and you. We don't go alone. We don't go alone. The apostles did not go alone. They went in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, besides a commission, these words of Jesus also serve as an outline for the whole book of Acts. In fact, it's the outline that I'll be using as we study the book of Acts. The apostles witness for Jesus in Jerusalem, and we'll read about that through chapter 7 of the book of Acts. The apostles witnessed to Jesus in Judea and Samaria, and we'll read about that in chapters 8 and 9 in the book of Acts. And they witness to the end of the earth, and that's from chapter 10 all the way through the end of the book of Acts. Well, the final area, the apostles wanted to know if the restored kingdom of Israel was now, if it was immediate. And Jesus answers with these words in verse 7. He says, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed." The completion of God's kingdom, the restoration of Israel, the end of all things was not for the apostles to know. In fact, it's not for anybody to know. It's not for you to know, or me to know, or any pastor to know, or any teacher to know. So if anybody who tells you, or if anybody you hear say that they know when Jesus is coming back, they don't know. Because Jesus says, we're not going to know. What Jesus tells the apostles is that the kingdom's going to come gradually, steadily, to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth. Well, Jesus tells us that God's kingdom is spiritual because it's of the Holy Spirit. It's international. It's gradual. And those in the kingdom are to be witnesses. Well, after Jesus finished telling his apostles this, after he patiently and graciously corrected their question, after he finishes speaking these words, after he finishes giving this commission, Luke tells us that Jesus was lifted up. He was taken up. He was raised up. He ascended on a cloud into heaven. And the apostles did what we probably would do if we were there. I'd probably do it. They just kept staring in the sky. I mean, you see a guy get lifted up in the sky. Yeah, I'm just going to keep staring up in the sky, probably thinking, what's going to happen now? What's he going to do now? And who knows how long the apostles would have stood there looking up in the sky, but two men in white, two angels, two messengers from God appeared beside them, and they spoke these words to the apostles. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven." In other words, the angels are saying, hey, y'all stop looking. Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come back in power someday. But in the meantime, he's given you marching orders. He's given you some instructions. Listen to him. Don't keep your head in the sky. Man, those words are for us too. Jesus Christ is coming back. But like the apostles, we can't stand with our eyes to the sky, focusing only on his return. It's not for us to know the times and seasons, the Father said. We've got to live in expectation, but Jesus has given us marching orders. He's given us instructions. We are to be witnesses. Witnesses to him. Well, it had been 40 days, and Jesus returned to his Father in heaven, where he is right now, at the Father's right hand, reigning and interceding for you. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your son Jesus and for his 40 days with the apostles, where he spent teaching them and being with them. We thank you, Father, for his patience correcting them, even in their misunderstanding. And we thank you, Father, for the gift of the kingdom, that through the Holy Spirit, through our faith in Christ, that we are part of the kingdom of God. We thank you for this kingdom that is spiritual, this kingdom that is international, and this kingdom that continues to grow. We thank you, Father, for our commission that we are to be witnesses to Jesus Christ. And we thank you that as you send us out to be witnesses, that we do not go alone, but that you are with us. Father, help to open our eyes and ears to know when and where we can be better witnesses for you and for your son Jesus. We pray, Father, that you would fill us with your Spirit and use us for your kingdom, your spiritual kingdom, your eternal kingdom. Father, use us as witnesses, and may we be faithful in this calling. And we know we can't do it without you. And Father, we especially thank you that your Son is now at your right hand, that his work is indeed done, and that he reigns with you. And we look forward to his coming again one day, where he will bring us into your house and into glory with him. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.